Well, it is time now for PMC Live. KFSK News and the Petersburg Medical Center hold a monthly radio show focusing on different departments, new programs, or initiatives that are going on at the medical center. PMC Live airs after the Midday Magazine on the first Thursday of each month. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Medical Center CEO Phil Hofstetter, along with a few people who are working on options for a new hospital or remodel of the existing one, and that is Dan Jardine. Jardine, and he is with NAC Architecture in Seattle, right? And then Devin Johnson is PMC's project manager. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So today we're going to be talking about the latest information in the process of planning for either a new hospital or a remodeled hospital here in Petersburg. So Phil, as CEO, do you want to kind of start us off where what's
going
on?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So where to begin with that conversation? I know it's certainly a hot topic since I started here. You know, what do you do with the existing facility? It's aging. It's fully depreciated. What are sort of the next steps? And there's been some work that's been done in the, since 2012, I believe, in various stages of, starts and stops. And so what we did is in the last year or so was able to get some funding with the Denali Commission to help support kind of organizing that material that's been done, and then really getting and selecting a firm through an RFP process, which the Denali Commission funding helped, and really just taking that first step. And the first step in that is something called master planning. And, you know, when I started in about a year and a half ago, and I met with a lot of community members about, you know, new facility. Again, it's a topic, a hot topic. And there's all various types of opinions. You know, can we build down here? Can we build up on the hill? Can we renovate? Can we remodel? So really what we asked Dan and his firm to do is to just kind of answer that basic question, you know, and that's part of the master planning. You know, what can we do? What are our options given the existing space, you know, funding availabilities, so financial feasibility, structural analysis, are all part of that sort of master planning to see what's realistic, what can we do given the climate of the financial state and given what the community wants and the space and the services provided.
So Dan, you're an architect, and you're with this firm in Seattle, but you've done some projects in Alaska, so you're familiar with.
Yeah, we were involved in the pre-design and master planning for the Ketchikan Hospital, Peace South Ketchikan. So we went through the master planning study, looking at what all their needs and various options for building out an addition onto the hospital. And anybody who's been to Ketchikan knows that it's a very tight site. So it was a bit of magic to try to find space to actually do what they needed to do. But like many small hospitals, they were short on clinic space. And so driving up the capacity for primary care in the city was one of the big drivers for the project in order to cut down on wait times for people that need to see a primary care provider. So we went through the master planning process and then a very sort of long funding search for that project. It we designed it in pieces and then looked for money, then finished up the design. But that project completed about a year and a half ago, and it resulted in a four-story addition under the front of the hospital with a floor and a half of clinical space, but also a brand new surgery and a lot of infrastructure improvements as well.
So what do you think about Petersburg's situation? Where are you at in the timeline and what can you tell us?
Well, we're really excited about the Petersburg opportunity. I mean, we very much enjoyed our Ketchikan experience, getting involved with the community and really working towards building something that improves the care for people in the community. The few times I've been to Petersburg, I've been very impressed. It's actually been very pretty when I've been here. But getting back to what Phil was saying about master planning, what you're doing is you're kind of taking a step back and thinking, okay, what are the real fundamental needs? How can we identify those? What are the real conditions here at the hospital and in the community? So there are a number of building blocks in the master plan that we've been going through. We did an inundation study to really look into what are the risks of flood in the area. We did a structural seismic analysis of the existing buildings to confirm what the risk is there. But we also brought in a healthcare consultant navigant that specializes in market assessment, bed need, financial projections, and so on, and went through those real sort of nitty-gritty fundamental questions to establish what are the real needs for a hospital here in Petersburg. We have that pretty much in hand at this point. So now the architects get to have some fun. We get to take a look at, okay, we need these many patient beds, we need this many exam rooms. What are the sizes of all this, and how can we fit those pieces together on a brand new hospital site or the existing site down in town and look at all those options and parameters and apply cost to them so we can really have some comparative alternatives to look at.
I see. So it sounds like you've been through kind of a lot of a question asking phase of the process where you're asking the community, like, what are the needs here? And PMC, what are the needs? What have you found are kind of the top needs?
Well, Phil can probably jump into this too, but primary care, again, is space for, you know, just wellness in the community, again, to cut down on those waiting times. And I think,
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to, you know, one of the, you know, Dan and I were just having a conversation, you know, we looked at utilization, you know, that's one of the things is like you look at the use of the existing facility and, you know, what are the needs there and what's, where to sort of, if you project it out, you know, based on historical census, based on age of the population, based on those things, you know, the things that we kind of talk about are, you know, there's definitely a need for a long-term care beds for that area for aging, even if we have aging in place, which we just did a community cafe on, but also primary care. You know, you look at our utilization, we have an amazing I'm actually very proud of the fact that Petersburg historically has very low volumes in the ER, very high number of volumes coming in through primary care. It's what you want. A lot of other facilities, and Dan, you have the perspective of other facilities, but you know, you're seeing a lot more introduction into the ER and in other facilities. And so having people coming in through primary care is really, it's a prevention mindset. And I think that's what you're seeing too, right?
Yeah, and that's where healthcare is going across the country, is to focus on early intervention and wellness in order to cut down the needs for the emergency room response to a flu or whatever else, and also to try to control costs. I mean, if you can find and treat early on, you can cut down on the sort of catastrophic costs later on as a disease may develop into a chronic condition.
So primary care is kind of a broad that includes like the clinic when you're sick and what else?
I would say the capacity for growth is in service, other services, so therapies. We've had therapies.
Physical therapy, occupational therapy,
right,
speech therapy,
audiology, which is my previous profession, and you know, just other types of services that we don't. We had you know, mental health and behavioral health is a huge area where we call integrated healthcare. We're trying to put that into primary care. You know, and then what's really interesting and exciting is, you know, timing wise, you know, when you're looking at some of these new innovative approaches in healthcare, can we actually incorporate those in the design? And that's what, you know, kind of, you know, when we're talking about some of that, that's exciting to me because, you know, having that on the primary care side and adding some space in that area makes a lot of sense. Adding things like, you know, lab and imaging, which are support systems for physicians in diagnostics, that's, you know, those are meaningful areas. And maybe not having as much ER inpatient beds, but yet having the innovation of accommodating those at the same time if the need and the census arises, which happens throughout the year periodically.
And I think another opportunity with a new facility is that you can start to incorporate the evidence-based designs for patient rooms and exam rooms to really make them more more helpful in terms of healing people. But you can also build in flexibility. You can have rooms that can be used for multiple purposes, so you can flex and grow as need goes up and down. You can work on proximities of different departments to each other so you can maximize the efficient flow of both patients and staff. There's a number of things you can take advantage of when you start working with a new design in a new location.
So the timeline, going back to the timeline, there was kind of like a deadline with the funding or the grant funding for the master plan.
Yeah.
But that was by the end of the year, right?
Yeah, we extended that a little bit.
Okay.
And we had to work with the Denali Commission to make sure that was okay, and they were fine with that. So we did allow a little bit more time. The last thing, you know, some of my experience in the past is you really don't want to have too aggressive a timeline if more time is needed. And that's really the, we want to have a good product. You know, part of that is actually community, is getting the community input. You know, we wanted to make sure we didn't rush that, you know, because there's different steps, and Danny, you could probably talk about that, is that, you know, in the process of this master plan, you know, the community, we had one community outreach this summer, we really want to have another opportunity for the community as well. In addition to this evening where we're going to talk with in the work session, we asked Dan and his group to come in at another time to allow an opportunity for the community to speak and get input from the community on, you know, what the feeling is, what their perspective is. Yeah. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit.
So we are up here today and we're bringing some basic site block schemes for taking the various departments that we've sized based on feedback from the hospital and based on the needs assessment that was done by Navigant, and looking how they might fit on various sites around town. So we'll be going through those and talking to the hospital staff about what makes sense in terms of this department next to that department. How can the nurses cover like the long-term care and the acute care and the emergency department at the same time from a central location? That's a big thing. So we'll be going through those very simple diagrams just to kind of talk about how those efficiencies might work. And from that point, we'll probably winnow down the alternatives to a few, and then we'll apply costs to those so we can get the better understanding of what the total bill will be for this. We're going to be taking the information from these meetings today and going back and finishing up those site diagrams, applying the costs for the rest of the month, and probably coming up with a final package mid-January.
Oh, wow. Okay, so some kind of real options in January?
Yes, but again, these are simple block diagrams, and this is
pre-design. No details.
It's pre-design is a good term for it, because you're really just thinking about the big picture of how this might lay out on a site. You're not actually looking at the details of within each department, but really how they relate to each other. So we won't be presenting like big, fancy, beautiful renderings. This is all about colorful little squares on a site and seeing how they fit together.
I see.
They're in the community. There seems to be a lot of strong opinions on the location, so really, I think the topic and the takeaway with the master planning is location, because and options of that of those locations, and not just one. There's a lot of pros and cons to where you put a facility. The con of putting a facility up on a hill in a brand new building, for example, is you're displacing 110, 120 employees out of downtown district, and you're putting that up on the hill, and there's stressors involved in that, and there's community drawbacks on that as well with businesses locally. And then there's we have to figure out what to do with the facility after it's vacated anyway, but there's that empty building concept, you know, what do you do with a vacant building? And there's cost associated with that. And no matter what you do, you just abandon the building. You can't just let it sit there. You got to heat it. I mean, these are all experiences I've had where I was before where, you know, even with a design in place, you know, doesn't, you know, or a plan in place, where I was before, that didn't even come to fruition. And so, you know, demolition cost money, heating cost money, renovating cost money for if you change it into something else. So there's some pros to keeping it down. Do they outweigh the cons? You know, those are things that project management can help answer, because until we answer that, we can't actually go to the next step and figure out the designs or the nice architectural pieces until we answer that very, very, very basic question. And just say it's not a basic question. It is very meaningful. It is a very good, it is very important, that step, to know where this is, because there is a lot of drawback to moving up on the hill, and there's a lot of drawback keeping down close. So really, you know, what do you do?
And at this point, we don't know which is a better option. You're just kind of looking at how many options you have.
Yeah, and to be clear about what Phil was saying, you know, we treated both options equally, and we looked at building in town. The big challenge there is that you have an operating hospital, and how do you disrupt that? And it really becomes a phasing exercise to see how much you can build adjacent to the existing hospital and then kind of piecemeal replacement of the existing without disrupting the services that the hospital provides to the community. So we took a look at that.
So some of those services are 24 hours a day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Devin, you're here and you are the project manager. What's your role in all of this?
My role, I'm kind of right now the get everything done, help sort, organize, and coordinate on our end. So I'm on PMC side. I work here. I live here in Petersburg. Dan's big picture new facility project, and I'm in-house. All of the projects that are happening now, helping getting ready for change and new things and cleaning out and organizing. I do all the jobs that nobody has time to do is kind of what I've been doing so far, but getting used to what we're doing now so I can help in the future.
That makes sense, because everybody at PMC already has a job doing stuff every day. Mm-hmm. To, you know, you need somebody to take on this project.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And as the architect, I'm delighted that Devin's been brought on, because as the consultant team, we need a single point of contact we can work with throughout the project to make sure that we can get information from the hospital when we need it, and then we can communicate, you know, the progress of the design as we go through. So
yeah. So Dan needs information. Phil's busy with his job. Chad's doing his job. PR's doing their job. This is my job now to run around and get all those pieces and put it in a pretty picture and say, hey, Dan, here's all the information you needed from all the different departments. But everyone else has their job they're doing. So,
okay.
I help.
Yeah. And you're from Nome too, right?
Yep,
so
yep.
Were you part of the, because Phil, you were with the Nome Hospital before you were here, and mm-hmm. you went through a process of getting a new hospital.
Yeah. So just for clarification on that, I mean, I was not involved as an administrator. When I came on in the Nome project, the talk of a new hospital started in 1999. I was an audiologist hired on in 1998. So for me, the benefit of the step process for a new facility started with me as a staff member attending all the different meetings with all the different architects from 1999 all the way up until the start in 2014. And when I became an administrator, the Nome project was already being built, and the funding was already there. But the step process for me as a staff member and as a manager, and then as a clinical lead in the transition planning, is actually a step process where I got into administration because it was so hard to get people. We didn't have a project manager, so people that were doing their day-to-day jobs had to step up, and so I stepped up, and I learned a lot in that process. And I could tell you, one of the things in every step of the way as a staff member, manager, administrator, and then transition planning, and being in charge of the clinical transition team with that transition in mind before even getting into administration, there is a lot of lessons that are like burned in my brain that I remember. I can't, and I say this a lot, where I say, if I could do it over again, there wasn't a day that went by when I was in the Noam Hospital where I just said, you know, it's a beautiful hospital. It is a beautiful project. But if I could do it over again, this is what I would do. And, you know, a lot of it is, you know, Dan and I talk about that. And one of them was a project manager, and Devin and I have worked together. I know Devin since she was a little kid, you know. Mm-hmm. We were just saying, I taught a health careers class, and I completely forgot, but she was in the health careers class when she was a senior in high school.
Yeah,
I worked with her mom. Her mom was a tech person at the school. So Devin's got a knack for organization, and she does an amazing job. So having her to me is just really exciting.
All right. Well, I know you have another meeting to attend, but before we go, there is a meeting today that's open to the public about this, and it's starting at 4:00, and it's PMC, and Dan, you'll be there, probably Devin, all you will be there, mm-hmm. And it's a work session with the borough.
Right. So we're required, we're a component of the borough, and we're required each year to have a work session, the board and the assembly, and today's that work session. On the agenda is master planning. So we will have an opportunity to discuss, and Dan's going to provide our presentation. I'm going to go over the strategic plan, and we're going to listen. I'm going to help facilitate between both the assembly and the board, and we'll have good conversation, and hopefully it won't go too long. But it'll be a good opportunity to sort of set the stage on some goals between the borough and the hospital. I'm really looking forward to that. The conversation.
Great. Yep. Well, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And if you missed any of this conversation, we will be posting PMC Live, the audio, to our website and Facebook later on.